Arash Madani is in Pyeongchang or somewhere around there.
It's tomorrow.
Where it's tomorrow. Who wins the games tonight, Madani?
Well, I'm in the future, and the Cleveland Browns have still gone winless.
Kind of like the Vikings.
You're only one day in the future, you numbskull. You don't even know where you are. Are you in? Are you actually in Pyeongchang, or are you in a suburb? Are there suburbs to Pyeongchang?
There are suburbs to Pyeongchang, but I am in Pyeongchang because we're up at the mountains.
Ah.
Where Michael Kingsbury won his gold medal last night.
Good for him.
How was that? I mean, when you think about how great we have been at moguls since we introduced him to the Olympics in 1994.
We do that all the time.
We win all the new sports. And when you think of Brassard and Bilodeau, this guy is, I guess, the third one, right?
Yeah, and John, he knows it. He said, those guys are my role models. Those guys are my heroes. Those guys are the watch. They're who I was watching since I was really young. They're part of the reason, he said, why I won today, why I'm here. And he started feeling the pressure the night before. He said, I had problems sleeping. I had pain in my stomach. I couldn't eat lunch the day of the competition. He was really feeling it because for the last 4 years, he's been pegged as the next one, in men's moguls, which is all fine and well. But when you have everything accomplished on your resume, except for that one thing, which is the biggest thing, you can understand why there was some angst there from the kid.
Because he has really dominated the World Cup Tour, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, six straight years, he's won the overall World Cup title. Nobody in the history of men's moguls has more World Cup titles than he does. He's won a couple of world championships. He came oh so close in Sochi, but then Bilodeau was able to defend his Vancouver Olympic title. So everything, I mean, we're talking about maybe the greatest to ever do it in his sport. So there was one thing missing. And I have to tell you this, guys, his mother, Julie Thibodeau, actually tweeted a picture last night. And it was a picture of the Olympic rings. And Kingsbury had written, that's the goal. And Kingsbury's brother scratched that out and wrote, you've achieved your goal. So there's a little... there's a little family deal for you too.
That was similar to the poster or the drawing he had on the ceiling of his bedroom for so many years as a kid. Correct.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Weather has been a bit of an issue in the mountains. How has the weather been? Has it turned? Has it changed? Is it better?
No, I mean the cold is one thing, Bob. But the real issue here is
wind.
How much the wind is affecting competition. And they first yesterday delayed the slopestyle women's final, but then they went through with it, and it was like athlete after athlete, just crash, crash, crash. And the gusts were pretty vicious. And I talked to a couple of the competitors, and they went off on the International Ski Federation about it. Cheryl Moss, the Netherlands, said it was a gamble. She said, anytime you went off on a jump, you weren't sure where you're going to land. She said, for me, it was scary, and all I was thinking about was surviving. And then it was the Canadian, Spencer O'Brien, who had been a medal hope. She said it's a shame when organizers don't take rider safety or even our opinions into any consideration. She said nobody once asked us if it was safe to ride today. And she said that has to change. Now, the International Ski Federation, FIS, they're known as being an organization that really panders to skiers way more than snowboarders. And a lot of the snowboarders yesterday in the aftermath of this said, here, case in point, you just delayed the Alpine for 5 days. But then when it comes to our deal, here we are out there on the biggest stage of our sport, and you're not even allowing us to compete at the level that we want to showcase ourselves at. On top of that, the safety issue. So
It's
one thing for it to be cold, it's one thing for it to be windy, but then when you're affecting the results of competition and when safety is in doubt, that's when things really get to be dicey.
I remember when you and I were in Vancouver, John, there were issues on the ski hills because of lack of snow.
Lack of snow, and then there were times there were fog issues.
Yeah. This is sort of different.
No, this is much similar, and this is before a lot of these new sports came in. This is exactly what happened in Calgary. You know, the wind, with the ski jump, the huge issues with the ski jump, the Eddie Eagle year. And then at Nikiska, too, the amount of delays they had up for some of the Alpine stuff.
Yeah. Is there?
Speaking of which, John, there was a great story that Sean Burke, the Canadian men's hockey GM, told us of playing Calgary 88. And he said one night he was in the village and he couldn't really sleep. He was tossing and turning. He said, "The hell with this. I'm going to go down to the cafeteria and get a bite to eat." So he goes down there. It's late at night and it's basically empty. There's a couple of people kind of hanging around. So he goes and grabs his food and he sits down at his table and he looks up. And there's somebody kind of sitting across from him. He's like, "I know who that is." He just couldn't put his finger on who that was. And it was kind of bugging him. The next day he turns on the TV. It was Eddie the Eagle.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, weather aside, what is on the agenda for, whatever. What time is it there now?
It is the morning, Bob. It is 8:45.
Okay.
And tonight here, tomorrow morning there,
yeah.
We will be at the mixed curling where John Morris and Caitlin Laws will be facing Switzerland for gold. And you're saying, well, Switzerland, Roger Federer isn't playing and neither is Martina Hingis. What good is that? So the Swiss have won four world championships. The Swiss have come from behind to beat the Canadians before at the world championships. So this should be actually a pretty good showdown.
Yeah.
It was a good moment yesterday.
Except Canada's on. You would acknowledge.
Yesterday.
Sorry. Please, you talk. I'll listen.
Sure. And yesterday, the Canadians were in trouble in the semifinal, and Caitlin Laws couldn't make a shot. And it's about midway through the match where John Morris came over to her and said, "Hey, don't worry, I know you can make these shots. You're going to make these shots." And then from there, Laws made the shot, the important shot, the game-winning shot to get the Canadians at the gold medal game.
What are the crowds like, these events?
They're actually not bad, John. I thought they'd be worse. I mean, some of the venues have been a little empty, especially early in the day.
Right.
They're reporting ticket sales of about 90%, which is...
Wow.
Yeah, well,
not I true.
The people who are cooking up the Argos numbers are down here for the IOC.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's amazing
on the event.
Arash, you've had Swiss tennis players and CFL football in the Winter Olympic discussion. That's amazing.
Yeah, all in the last 3 minutes. Not bad.
I know, it's pretty good.
But I tell you, the event that's drawn the biggest crowds is short track speed skating, bumper cars on ice, and that you cannot get a ticket to that thing. Matter of fact, Bob, your friend Mike Pence was in the building the other night when Charles Hamlin was competing.
What was that criminal doing in there?
He was hanging out with the president of South Korea. What
oh,
else
please.
Doing?
Well, of course, let's face it, the Koreans, this is almost a national sport there other than baseball, I would suspect.
Sure.
I mean, it is the huge sport there. By the way, how's the food? That's more important. How's the food?
Awful. It's awful. But it's awful in and around Olympic facilities. You got to leave and go out into town to get some of the good stuff. The problem is there's not a lot of time to go get the good stuff.
Oh, I've been to
Wait a sec. So give us a definition of the good stuff.
That's right.
What I like a Big Mac, what are you feasting on if you go into town?
Well, there had been talk that there'd be no McDonald's presence whatsoever because they're no longer one of those worldwide sponsors.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But, yeah, which, you know, how could you have a McDonald's without medals? How can you have an Olympics, rather, without McDonald's, Olympic rings, or medals? But there is one in the Athletes Village, and they have built one in the Olympic Village, and the lineups for the McDonald's in the Olympic Village are about a mile long, which tells you about all the other food they have and all the other concessions all around it.
Oh, that's funny.
Have you eaten anything you couldn't identify?
Plenty.
Really? Oh, God.
Plenty, yeah. Oh. We're just kind of, you kind of look at it and you examine it and you mess around with the chopsticks. You're like, okay, well, give it a shot anyway.
I want to see that feature on Sportsnet Central, Arash's Diners and Drives. You know, I mean, come on. I want to see that. You know, South Korean version.
It'd be ale lager repeats, John. You know how it is.
I know. And there's no Del Frescos in Pyeongchang. Is that what you're telling us?
That's right. That's right. They don't make the Caesar salad in front of you.
No, that's right.
So it is... Stop, you two. So it's a little early for this, but there were lofty projections about Canada's potential at these games in terms of number of medals the country might win. Are we on course, behind course? Where are we at here? Do you know?
Yeah, I'd say, Bob, they're on course. and may even be a little ahead of course. Outside of maybe one short track medal from one of Sam Girard or Charles Hamlin that could have happened, they've delivered everywhere they could and should have. I mean, Andy Noddy and women's moguls could have won another one, but Justine Dufour-Lapointe did. There was, I mean, yesterday in the moguls, Marc-Andre Gagnon could have. He finished fourth, but you still have the gold medal from Kingsbury. The target number that nobody will say is 27, because 27 surpasses every other Winter Olympics so far. So what are they at right now, 6 or 7? You know, they haven't dished out a curling medal, and they haven't dished out either hockey medals, and there's still some long track left to go. There's still a lot of figure skating left to go.
Right.
You know, there's a chance in biathlon. So on and on it goes. That's the target, no matter what they say. And so I would say through 3 days of competition,
they're in good shape.
But their total's pretty good right now.
And the two hockey teams, any last-minute words about the women's team and the men's team?
Well, the women's team won 5-0 over Russia.
But we're just waiting for the gold medal.
Team, so. My guess would be February 15th. That's the circle the calendar if there's a round-robin game, because they get the Americans then. Mm-hmm. But the gold medal game doesn't go for another week after that. The men's team just finished a preliminary game against Sweden, and it sounded like it was very aggressive and very physical, because once the actual tournament starts, they can't have any of that stuff, so both teams wanted to get it out of their system. I'll tell you this, John. To me, this is one of the most interesting Canadian Olympic hockey teams, men's hockey teams ever. Chris Kelly, until he played on the Spengler Cup team this year, had never once played for a Team Canada. Never once with the World Juniors, never once with the World Championships, never in a development program under 18s, under 19s. And he said, this is not a dream of mine, because it was never even on the radar. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of these guys who have, you know, to them, this is some kind of dream. And that's the coolest part of all this, as that tournament starts.